This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. If you're anything like us, you don't just book trips, you run the numbers first. Is this flight actually a deal? Is that premium card pulling its weight? Should I use points here or save them for something better? Well, that's exactly what Smart Travel dives into. They break down which travel cards actually earn their keep and which ones just look impressive in your wallet. They'll walk you through the quick math for knowing when to pay with points versus cash, and they explain how to get real value from your rewards instead of settling for that tiny reward button at checkout. It's thoughtful, research-backed travel finance delivered in a way that feels approachable and actually useful the next time you're about to hit purchase. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Rosie calls herself an average Joe in points and miles. 9-to-5 job, mom life, and not a massive spender. And yet she's out here pulling off a European trip worth over $26,000 for a fraction of the cost, with business class flights, aspirational hotels, and an experience she never would have thought possible just a few years ago. Rosie learned fast, moved even faster, and fully embraced what she calls her no-chill era. In this episode, we break down how she got started, what travel looked like back when everything was cash, and how points completely elevated her family's trips. She also gets real about when it makes sense to go full send in this hobby and when it's time to cool off for the long game. If you're trying to enjoy points and miles without letting it take over your life, you're going to love this episode.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I'm your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I've got an exciting guest. I can't wait for all of you all to hear and to see. But a few reminders, as always, before we get into the episode. First, you can catch all of our episodes in their full version, in their entirety, on YouTube. And for those of you that only watch our episodes or our videos on YouTube, you're missing about half the show, because on Fridays, we have our quick hits, which are our up-to-date points and miles and travel news. I would say that probably half our listeners probably love those a little bit more than the full show, but they only come out on the audio only version. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. As always, wherever you're watching or listening to this, please make sure to give us a like, a rating, a subscribe. Would love a 5-star review, would love hundreds of 5-star reviews, and make sure to tell your friends as well. Now, want to give an introduction to someone who has been an impactful and amazing part of our growing community within the Boldly Go Travel WhatsApp community, Facebook group, etc., etc. She is someone that comments frequently. She answers questions. She asks questions. She randomly clearly loves to travel, because she's always throwing out random travel deals that she's found in the chat as well. And she's been a breath of fresh air within the group. And she's also one of our chat admins as well, that she so graciously volunteered for. So I've given this introduction, but I can't understate enough. Welcome to the show, Rosie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you as well. And there is a line that you have famously used in our chat for going on however long it's been now, I don't know, a year-ish at this point. And you're always talking about whether you have chill or have no chill and what moment or what era you're in. Sometimes you're in an era of no chill or an era of chill when it comes to points and miles. So I'm excited to break down a whole episode today with you on what does it mean to have chill or no chill when it comes to points, miles, credit cards, opening them, travel, all of those things. So I'm super excited. So let's just start with this. Can you tell our audience a little bit about where you are, what do you do for a living, and how did you even get into the points and miles world?
Yeah, so like you said, my name's Rosie. I currently live in Columbus, Ohio. I'm originally from California. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Ended up here in Columbus with my husband, and we have a 3-year-old daughter. I call myself like an average Joe of travel. Like, I'm an average 9-to-5. I work for full time. I'm a mom, not a super high earner, and I stumbled upon points and miles. So that's a little bit about myself.
So how long have you been in the points and miles world? Is this something you stumbled upon 10 years ago, 6 months ago? How long have you been in this space of points and miles?
Yeah, it's actually been recently, since 2022. I had my daughter in March of 2022, and by the end of the year, you know, life was completely different, and I needed to figure out a way on how to travel with her. So I actually started a travel agency business, like a side hustle, because I do work full time, to try to find a budget that would work for our family. And I joined a bunch of travel mom groups, travel worldwide groups of family travel, and everybody kind of kept bringing up, how does everybody afford to travel? We're just a family of three, but a lot of the moms were, you know, they had 4 kids, big families. And the thing that came up the most was points and miles. We use points and miles, points and miles. So I started looking into points and miles, and very, very quickly, without any chill, just dove right into it. So not too long, but already have gotten a lot from it.
So I love the fact that you mentioned, you know, that you feel like you're kind of an average Joe from the standpoint of just being, you know, not to say just minorly, because obviously you're here, you're working, you know, you're taking care of your daughter, you have a 9-to-5, and we're talking a little bit off air, but that points and miles can work for everybody. Because I know oftentimes on the show, I've had business owners, I've had physicians, all those different things, which, yeah, it's great when you have a high degree of spend, it can make points and miles a little bit easier. But at the same time, the world of points and miles can work for literally anybody. The biggest thing you need is not your level of income, it's your level of kind of dedication to good financial responsibility, right? And I always, as an advisor, have to talk about making sure that we're being good with our money and not using points and miles as a reason to just get into crippling debt. So no matter who you are, that's really important. I'm really curious for you, Rosie, what did travel look like before you got into this world? I know you were looking at it because you had your recent daughter. Was everything just kind of paying cash? Were you taking trips fairly often paying cash? Or was it kind of the once a year vacation? What did travel look like for you then? And what does it look like for you now at kind of like a high level before we start digging a little bit deeper?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's had such a big range, because like in my 20s, I would be okay with the budget Airbnb, you know, as long as I was going somewhere. Back then, hotel didn't matter, which is completely different now. But back then it was kind of, hotel doesn't matter. It's more about the trip, the destination, the experience. So what it looked like was affordable Airbnbs. I think I once stayed at a $25 a night Airbnb in Playa del Carmen, all the way to, you know, saving up to go to a Secrets, you know, for a week. So, you know, it's changed, it's transitioned as I've kind of gotten older. But right before having my daughter, it was saving up as much as we could, paying cash, because I wasn't knowledgeable on points and miles. So saving up as much as we could the year before to make trips happen, right? Setting a budget, sticking to it, saving money, and then paying cash for that. So like once a year. If I was lucky, two times a year. But that's completely changed now.
So what does the picture for you look like now when it comes to travel?
So Waldorf Astoria, 5-star hotels. You quickly get very spoiled. Business class if we can. I tend to work backwards. So for example, I will have a set budget, and whatever budget I have now, Points and Miles has elevated that. And it has elevated it to doing things I thought I would never do. I would never, stay at a $2,000 a night hotel or $1,500 a night hotel. That was like part of my budget for the whole vacation, so it's different.
No, I absolutely love that. And I've mentioned this before over the years in the show, but the elevation of the budget is huge. And I think this is the part that probably gets missed the most. And that's why this podcast is called Revolutionizing Your Journey, because it really revolutionizes, Points and Miles it is, the way that you travel. Because whether your budget for a trip is $2,000 or $10,000 is kind of irrelevant, because when that's your budget, typically, 70 to 80% of your budget for a trip is made up on airfare and hotel stays and lodging. Well, if you can compress those down to be only 20% of your overall budget, what could you do with the other 80% now when it comes to experiences on the ground, excursions, sightseeing, renting fancy cars, whatever it may be, things that you might not have been able to do otherwise, that I think is huge. So Rosie, I'm curious, what was that first redemption or moment that really made you think, oh, wow, okay, there's something here with this world of Points and Miles?
So I think when I realized I can do this was when I got the Southwest Companion Pass. We no longer have it. I'm not no longer chasing it. But when I first started out, I went full in right into trying to get that Southwest Companion Pass. And when I got it, I achieved it. And I was able to see how I could take my husband with me at $11 in taxes and fees. It was an eye-opener, right? Hey, we're just saving one whole complete ticket by having this companion pass. And then that kind of just made me really go even deeper, because I was using the companion pass to visit family back in Los Angeles. And then I discovered the hotels and putting together hotels and the Southwest Companion Pass. So for example, we took a vacation to the Kimpton Seafire in Grand Cayman, which is a very popular destination for Points and Miles families. It was beautiful. The water was amazing. And I remember thinking I can do this. I brought my family here with whatever budget I had, whatever budget that I thought maybe we can go to Mexico. My family's in Mexico, so we go to Mexico a lot. But I was able to really extend that and go to a destination that I probably wouldn't have been able to afford. So after that trip, I went even more, no chill, right? And just tried to learn as much as I could about everything.
So let's talk about your definition of no chill. And I know that can mean a lot of different things to different people. And I think the way that most people would connect with that is probably velocity of cards being opened and such. So can you talk through, once it really clicked with you, oh, wow, I can do this, and you entered your no chill era, what did that actually look like?
So for me, no chill is not just velocity. And by velocity, it's the time frame in which we open up credit cards, right? Velocity is how quickly am I opening up my next credit card? How quickly am I getting into redeeming my bonus? When I mean no chill, I mean no chill in, yes, opening cards, but learning about Points and Miles. I'm listening to podcasts every day. I'm researching, watching YouTubes, reading blogs, asking questions, engaging, finding those little nuggets of valuable information that you learn from our WhatsApp group, right? So to me, it's opening up credit cards with a pretty speedy velocity, learning as much as I can, but also the other side of redeeming. So you can call it earn and burn, but I quickly was able to start redeeming and planning trips. So that's what I mean to when I say I'm no chill, I'm no chill in every aspect of Points and Miles, getting the cards, managing my points, redeeming points, learning as much as I can.
So let's address some of the things that maybe someone who this is literally their first points episode ever comes across and they hear opening a bunch of cards. Immediately, people connect that with creating a lot of debt, right? And so because of that train of thought, they go into the well of your credit score must be in the gutter. Now, you don't have to say what your credit score is. I put mine publicly out there. It's on our website. It's there. I've been doing this for 10 years. I think last time I updated the website a few months ago, it was like 860. So you don't have to say what yours is. So I know that it doesn't have an impact on credit scores when done properly. But my question for you is, as you're explaining this to people, maybe even your husband, who I assume might be your P2, what was the general reaction? And then how have you seen that shift as you've been doing this more and more over the last few years?
Yeah, so I'm also happy to share. It's over 800, and it has to be because my husband would kill me if I was financially irresponsible in any way. So the P2 situation is another story, right? Getting them involved as well. But I actually found your podcast because I love like financial literacy and being kind of responsible with my finances, with, you know, whatever little income I have, how I can maximize that and how I can maximize like our life, right? Our everyday life. I think the most important thing for someone that starts in points and miles is understanding how much money you're spending in a day to day. Because like you mentioned earlier, you can quickly get into debt if you are chasing the miles, which we're all, you know, trying to get our bonuses and chasing as much as we can. But when you kind of lose sight of that and remember that, you know, whatever money I have, whatever money I'm spending, how can I maximize that, right? So velocity and opening up cards. When I got into my no chill era, I was opening up cards pretty quickly, pretty rapidly. It didn't take an effect on my credit score. I think because I'm responsible with making sure I get those statements paid off, like I said, or else I'd be in trouble with my P2.
So let me ask you this. Was your husband, your P2, immediately receptive? I know there's kind of a different story there. Or did it take a little bit of coaxing? Was it that first big redemption where he was like, okay, I see what's happening now? Or is he still kind of reluctant, but he's, you know, you're still playing the game? Where's your husband kind of come into the cycle here as a P2?
He's a P2. He's not a reluctant P2, but I do have him as like, I call him like the golden boy of our credit cards. Like I'm the velocity person. I open up credit cards. If I were to take a ding on my credit, I want it to be me. He will only have him open up a credit card maybe two or three a year. And he has a great relationship with the banks and I want to keep it that way. So in the beginning, of course, he had that fear of credit card debt. And his biggest thing more than that was, are we taking this trip because we want to, or because you have points and miles now and I'm spending money on food and expenses and taxis and Ubers and food at the airport? And that's still true today for us. We're always, his thing is kind of like making sure that we are not spending out of our vacation budget because I'm so into points and miles and because it does, you know, that sometimes give you free travel. It's never free. I hear that a lot in Instagram and social media. It's not free. It's not a cheap hobby. It's not. So his idea is always, are we doing this? Are we taking this trip? Is this in our budget? As long as we keep those things like our focus and of course living within our means and comfortably, then he's all for it.
I absolutely love that, Rosie, because I think it's really important to frame around the right psychology in this world. And that's what I've always tried to balance with this show is about good, as you mentioned, great financial responsibility, as well as the ability to use that to parlay into some fantastic ways to travel. So I think kind of you mentioning that framework is really beneficial for someone that's new or even as a refresher to someone that's been in the points and miles world often, because even myself, I find myself saying, I've got these points here, like why not just use them somewhere versus do we really actually want to go here versus okay, I've got so many different cars that are giving me free night certificates or these different things. Do I have to force myself into a trip to feel like I've gotten the value out of them or out of the Amex, you know, Fine Hotels and Resorts credit or whatever it may be? So it can be a little bit of a dangerous game if you don't know how to kind of keep the right mindset and the right psychology around it, which I think that framework is really important and super beneficial that you have it. And I do want to clarify as well for someone that is new, when I'm referring to the word P2, P1, that is player one, player two, which it's awesome that your husband, as you said, he's a true P2 player two, where, you know, he's opening cards, he keeps the solid relationships, which allows you to get a little bit more of that velocity, a little bit more of that edge, having that world of no chill a little bit. So I'm actually curious, Rosie, do you feel like you're no chill era, which I know encompasses way more than just card velocity, all right? It's you learning and looking for deals and all these different things. Do you feel like by jumping full in and having no chill, you're able to do some things faster or differently that maybe a slower strategy you would not have found yourself being able to accomplish?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, my no chill mentality, I feel like I was able to get certain redemptions before a lot of the devaluations. So you hear in points and miles all the time, devaluations every year. Hilton had a big one last year. You start seeing now room nights going up to 200,000 points. And because I got into it so quickly and my velocity at the beginning was so quick, I was able to make redemptions that I possibly could not do now. For example, like in our WhatsApp community, right, I would put like, I need to get this Emirates flight. And I was no chill. And again, like the no chill is not just velocity. It's like I'm up at midnight waiting for these flights to drop. I'm constantly checking. So Emirates had ended their relationship with Chase, right? So you can no longer transfer from Chase to Emirates. And at that point, I had my Chase points were going to go to Emirates, and I was able to book our trip for this year, last year, before that transition happened, a month before that transition happened. If I wasn't ready or had those points, we wouldn't have been able to do that, right? Like maybe we could have, but it would have been just so much points expensive. But you know, everything's relevant, you know, so.
It is super relevant, but I'm actually curious now. I mean, you booked Emirates. Where are you guys going?
We are doing an Italy, Switzerland, Germany trip. It started with like getting over, as you hear in the points and miles, you just got to get over, right? So we're flying from JFK into Milan in business class, all three of us. So, you know, my daughter will probably be ruined after that. So we're going from JFK to Milan. We're staying at the Grand Hotel Victoria, which is an aspirational property. And when I booked it before the devaluation, I was able to, it was still availability, 120 points a night, 1,000 points a night. Still a lot, but it's doable. And then from there, we're going to Switzerland, and we're doing that with an Airbnb. Not everything on points. And then our last little stretch, we're going to take Singapore business class from Frankfurt back home to JFK. We're going to stay at a castle in Germany. So, and that's also a points redemption.
5 years ago, would you think that you would ever take a trip like this?
No, absolutely not. No way. Especially like a business class. I thought I would never do an international business class. And when I would be looking, well, I would think, well, maybe, you know, that's for like the influencers. That's for like the hot, like those people you see on Instagram that are posting their shower in the sky, that they were able to do that. And average Joe, 9 to 5, full time, not a high earner, mom of a toddler. If I can do this, you know I have no chill, but people can do it.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. Do you happen to know, by chance, roughly, the rough value of the trip that you booked in total when it comes to kind of business class there and back, the hotel stays, all the different things, like the rough value of this one trip? And roughly how many days is the whole trip also?
Yeah, it's about 10 days. And I do have that because I have a spreadsheet with every single detail. So the retail value is $26,595.37. I have paid out of pocket $4,251.60. Our budget for this Europe trip was $5,000. So I'm under budget.
Absolutely incredible. $5,000 budget for a trip, $26,000 of value. The headline right there writes itself, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. So you had this era of no chill. We went in, we dove deep, we learned, we listened, we asked questions. And also one thing I got to point out here, because I think that this happens a lot of people, and there could be many listeners that are hearing this as I say it, that you learned and then you executed as well. A lot of people will learn and they will listen and they will study, they will see all the things, but they won't ever actually do it. It could be fear of making a mistake or a lot of different things. Now, there are some people that are learning because they're waiting for when they can make the redemption for whatever it is, the era of life that they're in right now. Maybe they're in college, whatever it may be. But there's plenty of people that they freeze before they pull the trigger on it for a lot of different reasons. So I got to point out that one of the keys here is you didn't just learn, but you actually did it. And then once you did it, you were like, oh, I can keep doing this. After that first redemption, each one, although it still takes some skill and time, became a little bit easier. Is that a fair assessment, Rosie?
Absolutely. I think once you get over that fear of do it, book it, like you can do this, it gets a little bit easier every time. For the era of life, right? And it changes. Like a year ago, our travel looked different because my daughter was younger, right? But for me, it's that fear of like traveling with a toddler. Right? Or like, how is that going to look? And how is that going to change? So yes, I learned, I was ready to execute. But also, like, there's this fear that, like, I would say, okay, I'm going to get over this, like, I'm going to travel with my kid, we're going to do this, it's going to be different, but we're going to do it. And once I saw that I could do the redemptions and travel with my kid, I mean, it's just everything has changed now. And now that she's a little bit older, she's going to be 4 next month. It's just so enjoyable. And we actually leave for Costa Rica in 2 days, right? So from now, I'm sure when this airs, we'll probably be back, but we're leaving to Costa Rica. And I think I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but it's made travel so enjoyable, even with her, right? Because we got her like a book of Costa Rica, and she's got her calendar and her countdown, and she's going to school and telling all her little friends that she's going to go see spider monkeys. And like Points and Miles did that, right? And it kind of took that fear of like, gosh, I'm going to spend all this money, I'm going to go so far, and then my kid's going to be crying the whole time. Like, who cares? Like, it's Points and Miles helped me not spend all that money. It takes away that like mentality. And this trip was actually not, because I planned very ahead of time. This was actually a last minute trip. And my husband said, let's get out of the cold because it's been snowing here. It's freezing. And he said, you have a $1,500 budget. Like, what can you do with that? That's our budget. That was our budget. He's like, maybe we can do like a little getaway, like maybe somewhere warm. I'm sure he was thinking like Florida.
He didn't know what you were capable of.
He didn't know. So, and I remember putting it on the WhatsApp chat saying, hey guys, My husband just gave me a budget of $1,500, and then I put like a GIF of like me on the computer, and sure enough, we're doing Waldorf Astoria, Costa Rica, $1,500 to $1,600 a night room, which I'm not paying that, right? Like, we're doing points and miles, and we're getting all the perks because I'm also Diamonds. I think we got the Aspire card around the same time. So we get free breakfast, so we're saving money on that. So, yeah.
I love that. Your husband was basically like, hey, I'm giving you permission to unleash the beast, and you execute it appropriately. I absolutely love that. Well, Rosie, I got to pivot the conversation a little bit, because while I know for the longest time you've been in your I have no chill era, you've been commenting so much now, especially as we've been talking through built cards coming out and this and that, which that's a whole other story. But you've been like, well, I'm just watching on the sidelines because right now I have chill. So I got to ask, what is this era of chill look like, or what is it for and why?
So in full transparency, I started getting denied by all the banks. And around the same time, it just like was a coincidence that I like fell upon, I don't know what number of episode it is, but you have an episode that talks about like kind of like longevity of points and miles and a Warren Buffett and kind of like that mentality. So I listened to that and I realized like, I'm going to put myself in credit card jail. And what that means is I'm not opening up any credit cards from now until second quarter. And I'm just gonna like take it easy because I want longevity in this game. And I want a like healthy relationship with banks. I want to be financially responsible.
Perfect. So Rosie, the episodes you're referring to, so there's actually three that we've done kind of on the mindset space of points and miles. One was episode 77. That was where I compared, or I kind of took one of my favorite books in the financial literacy space, which is Morgan Housel's Psychology of Money. Fantastic read. I recommend to anybody. It's not about investing and how to make the most of your money. It's about, again, the psychology of money and turn that into the psychology of points. And then the second was I did a two-parter on Warren Buffett and turning some of his best investment and best philosophies into how they could correspond to points and miles. And that was episodes 92 and 97. So I'm glad that you were able to find those helpful, because if you are in this space, it's important to know that this is the long game essentially. And there's always going to be changes that are happening and things that are happening and our life's going to change. But I do think it's helpful that you were able to kind of connect and recognize, hey, okay, I might need to chill a little bit and have a little bit of a break before going for my next deal or my next card, or that I don't have to get every single card deal that comes across my desk, which can be enticing, but when a random Virgin Airlines opportunity opens up for a sign-up bonus that we may not be planning to use, we may not need to go for that specific opportunity, and just understanding when to go and when to not go, basically.
That's exactly right. It's the psychology behind it. And after that, I read the book as well. And it just kind of points and miles and financial responsibility just goes together if you are responsible with your money and you know how much your spend is. So, yeah.
No, that's absolutely fair, Rosina. I think it's good to extrapolate a few lessons, because you've provided a lot of value already in this episode. And I think you've done a great job, especially for beginners, to know, hey, how do you avoid going kind of full no chill too fast, but still being able to do it in a way that's beneficial? Because as you said, if you didn't, you might not have had the opportunity to take some of the trips or to execute on some of the opportunities that you actually have. But I'm curious, because I would say that experience in points and miles is not just a time aspect. It's an experience of execution and knowledge as well. There's people that have been dabbling in points and miles for 10 years that have nowhere near as much knowledge as you do, because you've actually been studying, you've been learning, and you've been executing. So I would ask you, as someone that I consider experienced, even though it's been only, and I use only in quotes, 4 years, outside of perhaps banks saying no, when do you think players can tell it's time to slow down a little bit when it comes to their level of chill?
Yeah, that's so important. And there's no judgment to anybody, because points and miles is such a personalized hobby, right? And by that, what I mean is what works for me, like we said earlier, what works for me and my family of three is not going to work for you and Taryn, right? Like we're completely different. So no judgment in what everybody's path and points and mile is. But I think for me, when I start thinking, because I have no chill, I need to recognize that I have no chill. And I start thinking about ways that I would spend money when I didn't have to, when I'm opening up that random Virgin Atlantic card, do I even need that? I work backwards typically, which means like I have my trip and then I kind of will think of ways to get to it, right? So if I don't need this card, I don't need to open it, right? Manufactured spend, again, that can work for a lot of people. I cannot put like that risk in my family and like taking money from our emergency fund to maybe do like a big spend. And then like when I start thinking about just, I don't want to say crazy, but like not my normal spend or how I'm doing things, I think that's the time when it's like, okay, it's time to chill, because I could see myself starting to chase the points and miles instead of kind of working together with them in our everyday life. Like I was listening to how to use the manufacturer spend group, buying groups, which like it's no judgment to those who use it. It just doesn't work for us, right? Or, you know, doing certain things that I wouldn't normally do. So that's when I kind of felt for myself, okay, I need to just chill. I need to stop opening up so many cards. Like I said, I plan very much ahead. I have the trips that I want our family to take, and I know what cards and what kind of points I need to get us there. So I don't need to open up that random, I don't know, Singapore KrisFlyer credit card or, you know, whatever. Like I don't need that. So that's how I kind of would say, like, I realize in myself.
No, I think that's fantastic. And that brings me to another analogy. And this wasn't designed to be an episode catering to the financial literacy ties, but you did a fantastic job just teeing me up for these, which I absolutely love. But you're really attributing or talking about what we talk about in the investment world of risk tolerance. And this is not just an investment phrase. Obviously, it can apply to life in general. But you really have to assess, what is your risk tolerance in this world? What are you comfortable with? Like for me, I have a high degree of spend in a lot of different places, but buying groups for me makes me uncomfortable. But there's a lot of people that buying groups, gift card reselling, all these different things, like that's the space they're in. They're very comfortable in that space. And as you said, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to understand what world do you want to be in? What world are you comfortable with? And not feeling like you have to do all of the things and never putting yourself in a position where doing something doesn't make you feel okay. Because you never want to be in this world and you basically can't go to sleep at night, not because you're looking for amazing trips, but because you're like, man, am I making a mistake with my finances because of what I'm trying to accomplish for travel?
That's exactly right.
So, Rosie, this has been overall fantastic. I think you did a great job explaining how you've gone from the era of no chill to right now being an era of chill. But I know you, from what I've seen from you being in the group, you're always looking at deals, you're always looking for opportunities to travel. How do you balance the mental load of this points and miles world? Because it's really easy for it to absorb everything in your life. As you said, listen to podcasts and all these different things. How do you find that you have the energy to be like, hey, I don't have to always be looking at what my next trip is, but at the same time, still looking forward to it? Because of course, that's part of the fun at this point also.
I think keeping the fun part of this hobby, like, is what makes me kind of want to balance that. Like for example, it's fun for me. So I see it as like, I get to do this. This is fun. Once it starts, you know, kind of getting like overwhelming, I just put it down, right? Like sometimes I'll be looking for, like if I'm looking for flights or some crazy deal and it's not there, I'm not finding it. Well, we're not going to take the trip, and that's okay. You know, and that's hard for someone like me because I have no chill, right? Because I'm constantly, so I think knowing when to just like let it go is something that each person has to find on their own, right? But for me, it's okay, well, we can't do that trip and that's okay. So just putting things down, like it just like set it down, put the phone down, and come back to it when I know it's fun for me again, because I love going on SeatStar Arrow and like telling, you know, hey, this is where you can go, or checking out Hilton because I'm a Hilton girly. And so I think that's how like I balance it, is that to continue to keep it fun for me and to learn where I can and can't do things.
Oh, I think that's fantastic, Rosie. And that's a great explanation. I think a great level of approach to this world of points and miles. What I want to do with you is something that we have not done before. It's a version of rapid fire questions, but because you are famously known for being either chill or no chill, I'm going to try to convey my best Howie Mandel. And instead of a game of deal or no deal, it will be a game of chill or no chill. And essentially, if you say no chill, that means yes, full send, let's go, let's do it. Chill means probably not. So, are you ready to play chill or no chill?
Yes. I love this. This is great.
All right. So, I wish I actually queued up like the audio from Deal or No Deal, but I didn't think that far ahead. So, Rosie, opening a new card before finishing the minimum spend on the last one, chill or no chill?
No chill.
No chill. Okay. So yes, yes, yes. Okay. Transferring points before you actually need them. Chill or no chill?
Chill.
Chill. Okay. So don't do it. Perfect. Opening a card just because the bonus is high, the sign-up bonus. Chill or no chill?
Oh, chill. Right now it's chill. Maybe no chill Rosie would say something else, but right now in this era, I'm going to say chill.
Planning a trip without any dates.
No chill.
No chill. Do it. Yeah, that's fair. What about hoarding points for the perfect redemption?
Chill. Don't do it. There's no perfect redemption.
You are correct. There are no perfect redemptions. Booking a backup award just in case.
No chill.
No chill. Do it. Yeah, having a backup in place. That makes sense. Refreshing award space multiple times a day to see if something changes.
No chill.
Opening a business card for a side hustle that barely exists.
No chill.
No chill.
I don't think I have any travel client. My side hustle is a travel agency. I have like one.
There you go. Hey, I love it. I absolutely love it. Rebooking a flight 3 times just to save 5,000 points. Chill or no chill?
No chill.
No chill. So to save the points, we would do it. Okay. Explaining points and miles to friends who didn't ask about it.
No chill. I'm so annoying.
That's why we have the WhatsApp group, because it gives you an outlet.
That's the only place that like anybody actually wants to hear what I'm saying about points and miles.
And the last one, feeling personally attacked when a good either sign-up bonus drops after you applied or transfer bonus dropped after you transferred.
No chill.
Does it happen to all of us? It happens. You're like, man, I could have just waited 2 more weeks and this would have happened.
Like that Virgin Atlantic huge bonus. I think, what was it? It was something ridiculous in December. And I was, you know, working backwards and I saw that Virgin Atlantic was, you know, a possible route that we would take in the next couple of years. And I'm like, man, oh, well, let it go. Let it go.
I love it. Rosie, this has been absolutely fantastic. Where can the listeners kind of follow your journey and learn more about your adventures and some of this amazing, amazing travel that you're able to do, in your words, as the average Joe, the 9-to-5er?
So, you know, I'm not an influencer. I'm an average Joe. So you can find me at Rosie Kalig. That's RosieKalig on Instagram. Just send me a message because it is private. Like I said, I'm average person. Just shoot me a message. Say, hey, I want to chat points and miles. And I love talking about it. And I love helping moms be able to do this.
I love it so much. Rosie, I can't thank you enough. You've been an integral member of our WhatsApp community. As I said, you are always engaging, always commenting. You're both asking questions, answering questions, throwing out random deals and redemptions you found, throwing out that your husband gave you the permission to go full send on $1,500 in a short time frame. And also, I do want to thank you for, you know, being an admin in the community as well, which I know we have a pretty good community, so hopefully it's not taking up too much of your time, but I do appreciate all the effort you've given to not just the community, but even the help for me as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm happy to be part of this group. It's very special. Maybe there is, but I have not found a Points and Miles group as kind of like that family and friends vibe that we have going on in the WhatsApp group. I hope it continues to be like that. And I'm so happy that I'm part of it. It's a great positive space.
It really, really is. It's super cool. You feel like you get to learn more about people as they're commenting. Even today as we record this, so many people were like, oh yeah, we're all leaving this weekend to go to different places. People were commenting about, you know, seeing if their trip to the Maldives that two different people were taking, if it was going to actually line up for them to meet at the same airport. Like, really, really cool things. And I'm glad that we have this healthy community. Glad you're a part of it. And also glad for all the insights you've had today. You know, since you've been following the show for a while, you know there's always two questions I wrap up with. And the first one is, who do you think next we should have on the show?
Another, like, family travel, because those, I feel like there's a lot of maybe people in our community that might be a little bit afraid to jump in that have families. So anybody that's, you know, kind of has a lot of knowledge on family travel would be great. Even somebody from our community.
Perfect. Well, I will make sure to focus on getting someone like that lined up. Rosie, anything else? Any last final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
I think just the biggest message is, like, travel, like, opens up our world, right? And it, for me, it's helping, like, me raise my daughter into this, like, global citizen. And Points and Miles is helping that. But the main focus is, like, exploring the world, being part of, like, this such a wonderful community. And if I can do it, the 9-to-5, no chill girl, anybody can do this.
Rosie, I think there's no better way to wrap this one up. Thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you for all of your insights.
It's my pleasure.
For the listeners out there, if you enjoyed the show today, be sure to follow us on all the social media channels and sign up for our newsletter to get insider information sent to your inbox every single week. As always, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. If you want to connect with Rosie, she's in our WhatsApp group. You won't miss her post. I promise. She's super active. So are so many other people. It's an amazing community to be a part of. And we all have one thing in common, or maybe two. A, we love Points and Miles, but B, those Points and Miles allow us to travel and to revolutionize our travels and where we're going next. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania. Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at VoiceScape.com.